few weeks ago, a friend of mine on Facebook happened to post that he had been to Idaho on business. And he said that while he was there, he ate at a Mexican restaurant, which is a mistake if you're in Idaho. And he said he ordered enchiladas, and then he posted a picture and said, "This is what they gave me." Now, if you're new to Texas, if you've just moved here yesterday and you're thinking, what's wrong with that? This is going to be part of your discipleship process this morning. However, if you've been here a while and you're thinking, what's wrong with that? This is going to be a moment of repentance for you. This is something. It is not enchiladas. Here was my theory of what happened is that somebody from Idaho came to Texas and ordered enchiladas and had them and liked them and thought, I need to go make these back in Idaho. And so they hopped in their car and they drove back home. But somewhere between Texas and Idaho, they forgot what an enchilada is. They forgot what it consists of, what the ingredients ought to be. And so they got back home and they created something that in their minds resembled it. I mean, it has some beans and some sort of sauce. It looks like there's some kind of coleslaw on top. I don't know where that came from. Pita bread, I think, is what that looks like under the coleslaw. So at some point between here and there, they lost their vision of what a enchilada ought to be. That's a danger that can face us anytime we embark on a task or a mission. That somewhere between the beginning and the middle and the end, we forget what we're about. We forget what we're trying to do, what we're trying to build, what we're trying to create. That can happen to a church as well. So I want to talk about that for a little bit this morning, because a lot of times what happens in churches is that those who begin the church, they have a certain idea in their mind of what it ought to be, what their values are, what their mission is. And so they start this process of building a church. And the challenge is, as the church drives forward, as it moves forward, and more people join and more people join and it grows, it is easy to lose sight of what you're supposed to be, of who you are, of what the mission and the values that ought to drive the church forward are. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. It may be that you're new to Grace Bible Church and new to Grace Creekside. And so some of this morning may be stuff you've never heard. And our hope is at least once or twice a year, we want to come back to these concepts because we know there are always people who haven't been here before. And we want you to understand what we're about. We want you to know who we are as a church. It may be that you've been coming to Grace for a long time. Those of you who perhaps joined us for the first time at Grace Creekside, you may or may not know that Grace Bible Church has a 56-year history. Our campus has a 6-year history. But we are a part of a church that has been going for decades. And so maybe you joined us a long time ago, and you may say this morning, all of this is stuff that I have heard over and over and over again. I know our mission. I know our values. I've heard it over and over and over again. Well, we're going to continue to repeat it. Not only until we know it, but also until we understand it and we really begin to live it out in a powerful way, in a spirit-filled way in this church and in our community. This is a lot like when you give your kids an instruction, like be nice to your sister. And they say, I know, Dad, I know that. You say that every day, be nice to your sister. And what do you say? Well, I'm going to keep saying it until you stop slapping her in the head, right? I will keep saying it and keep saying it because the danger that we face is to drift from it, to forget these things that make up who we are. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning as we begin a new semester, as we begin a new school year. Who are we? And I want to start here. And Chris mentioned it in our host moment just a few minutes ago. What is the mission that drives us as a church. Here's how we say it. We help people find and follow Jesus. That's our mission. Now, if you've been here for a long time, you know that over the course of Grace's history, we've used different slogans to express fundamentally the same concept. This phrase is our way of saying we are about spiritual multiplication. We are about the Great Commission to make disciples of all the nations. That's what we're about. We help people find and follow Jesus. The last words that Jesus said to his disciples before he ascended into heaven were these: go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So before he ascended into heaven, Jesus pulls his disciples aside and he says, hey men, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go into all the world. And in the book of Acts, he's going to say, I want you to start in Jerusalem and then go to Judea and then go to Samaria and then to all the ends of the earth. And what I want you to do is I want you to tell people about me and help people believe in me for eternal life. That's helping people find Jesus, believe in Jesus for the first time. And then he says, I want you to teach people about me so they can follow me. That's what a disciple is. A disciple is somebody who has believed in Jesus Christ, first of all, that Jesus died for their sins and rose from the dead, and they've trusted and believed in him for eternal life. And then a disciple is somebody that says, I want to follow him day in and day out through the power of the Spirit as he leads me. And Jesus says, that's what you're called to do. That's what every church, in fact, is called to do. And every Christian is called to do, is to make disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples until Jesus returns. So we help people find and follow Jesus. That is, we go out into our community, into our neighborhoods, into our workplaces, into our families, our schools, and we say, hey, I want to introduce you to Jesus so that you know how to have eternal life, so that you know how to have a relationship with God. And then as people believe in Jesus and then they come and they are a part of our church, we say to one another, we want to help you follow Jesus so that your character is transformed into the character of Christ, so that you also learn how to introduce people to Jesus and help them follow Jesus, so that those people will introduce other people to Jesus who will help other people follow Jesus. And we begin that process here, and we have a task to do that amongst the nations. That's who we are. That's our mission. And I share that because my hope and prayer is that everybody at Grace Bible Church, everybody at Grace Creekside, will engage with that mission. I love that we gather here to worship, and that's a huge, huge aspect of what we do as a church. This is something that God's people have done ever since the beginning, is gathered together to worship. And then we participate in the Lord's Supper and we celebrate baptism and we gather together. But we are also called to make disciples, to share the gospel and make disciples in our community and around the world. And my prayer is that you won't merely come to sing and listen, but that you'll engage in that task with us. And we're going to talk some about that this semester. How can you begin to engage in that task of making disciples with us? So that's our mission. And I want to talk now then for a few minutes this morning about the values that sort of hold up that mission for us. What are the key values of Grace Bible Church? Some of which I think ought to be values for every church, but some of which have sort of historically been values uniquely of Grace or unusually of Grace Bible Church. There are four of them I want to talk about this morning. We call these our pillars. This is traditionally what we've called them, these four pillars. The first one is this: we value God's grace. We value the grace of God. You may have noticed we are called Grace Bible Church. The first name, the first word in our name, it's grace. What is grace? Grace is simply that God gives us what we do not deserve. It is an unmerited gift from God. at the heart of everything we do is that we preach the good news of the gospel of grace. You'll hear it every week from me in some form if you're here. That we believe because Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead, everybody who believes in Jesus can have eternal life for free. At no cost to you. Not because you have earned it, not because you deserve it, but because he gives it for free. We value grace. It is of first importance. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 15, the gospel of grace is of first importance. He says, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That Jesus Christ, even while we were yet sinners, he says in Romans chapter 5, Christ died for us because he loves us and he gave us what we did not deserve. And really, a core conviction of us here at Grace Bible Church is we will always present the gospel that way. That it's an absolutely free gift. Nothing you can do to earn it, nothing you've done to deserve it, nothing you can do to lose it, because it's a gift. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is what? It's the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. We're very careful here never to give the impression that the gift of God in Jesus Christ carries some sort of hidden cost. That, yeah, okay, you get it for free, but you got to run really hard on the righteousness treadmill to keep it. That's not biblical. I was thinking about that this week because I think we're all familiar with gifts that have a hidden cost, right? You might get a phone call or a letter or something along those lines and they offer you a free gift, but that free gift always comes with some cost. You gotta subscribe to something, you gotta buy something, you gotta do something in order to get the free gift. Several years ago when our kids were smaller, I was at the grocery store with the kids kind of walking around trying to get what we needed for the week. And over the loudspeaker, I heard this voice come on and he goes, if you will come over by the deli area, you will receive a free gift. And I thought, man, that sounds amazing. I didn't even know what it was, but I thought, free gift, I'm there. So I grabbed everyone. We walked all the way across the store. We went over by the deli area and there was this guy standing kind of by where the cooking stuff is. And he begins a presentation. And it turned out that the cost of the free gift was 45 minutes of my time to listen to him demonstrate the greatest knives in the universe, which I did buy a set, by the way, toward the end of his presentation, because they were impressive. But that's a free gift with a hidden cost. It's not really free. That's the way some people present the good news of grace. Here at Grace Bible Church, we say, no, the gift of God in Jesus Christ, eternal life, it's 100% free. Can't earn it, can't deserve it, can't lose it, because it's a gift. The gospel is more like this story from January when my wife and I went out to dinner for our anniversary. We happened to go to a nice steakhouse here in town, and we ordered what we wanted to eat, and we ate the meal, and we had a great time, and then when it was time to pay, our server came over, and I said, hey, I'm ready for the check, and he said, actually, the check's been covered, and we were like, by who? And he goes, nobody you will see in this room. I don't know who did it. To this day, I don't know who did it. Maybe it was Jesus. I really don't know. Just for this illustration. That's a free gift. Why? I can't repay it. I didn't do anything to deserve it. There's nothing we could do to lose it. All we could do was enjoy the steak because it was a free gift. That's the good news of the gospel of grace. All right, and that's the first pillar we want to set in the ground. That's who we are. If you don't know Jesus Christ, I want you to know him. And to know he wants to know you. He died for your sins, even though you've done nothing to deserve his love and his mercy. And in fact, we've done everything to alienate ourselves from him. through sin. But he died for our sins and he rose from the dead. And if you believe in him and believe that he can give you eternal life, he gives it to you. We value the gospel of grace. That's the first pillar we stake into the ground. Secondly, we value God's word. We are Grace Bible Church. We've always been a Bible church, which means that at the heart of what we teach and at the heart of what we believe is that we believe that the grace of God is most fully expressed in this day and age through the word of God, through the word of God. We believe the word of God is powerful, that when we read it and when we preach it, it does its work through the Spirit in our hearts to transform us. That if we want to be disciples of Jesus Christ and we want to know how to follow him and how to imitate him, we need to know the word of God. One of my favorite passages in the scripture about the word of God, Isaiah chapter 55, it says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire." I love this passage. I mean, if you think about it, it's rained a lot this past week. When you think about what happens typically if it rains and if there's enough sunlight, everything turns green and everything begins to grow. The rain does its work to bring this growth from the ground. That's how Isaiah describes the words that God speaks. And that would include prophecies, but that also includes the word of God, which is the written record of the prophecies and the history and the truth of what God wants to say to us. We believe that the word of God is not only the final authority for us, for how we follow and obey Jesus, but we also believe it is powerful. It is alive, as Hebrews says. So that when we preach it and when we read it, it does its work in our hearts to change us into the image of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, a passage that you're probably familiar with. "All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." Right? This is why every single week, I will tell you, I bring a Bible up here and I read from it. And to be honest, it's a little bigger than it needs to be because I want you to see it. And the reason I want you to see it is because you understand that the things that are coming out of my mouth come from this book. I'll be honest with you, I have opinions on a lot of stuff. Somebody emailed me this morning and asked for my opinions on vaccines. You want to know my opinions? You don't. And here's why. Because that's not why we're here. I could give you my opinions on that. But what we're called to do is be in the Word of God. Right? I could give you my opinions on all kinds of stuff. I have a lot of them. I could give you my opinions on whether you should watch The Bachelor. I could give you my opinions on immigration policy. Right? I could give you my opinions on whether you should buy a used car in this market. But it doesn't matter. My opinions aren't going to matter in a year, in 5 years, in 10 years, or in the grand scope of eternity. What matters is what God has recorded for us in his word. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 24, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will remain forever." And so this is also why so many of our sermon series here at Grace Bible Church, so many of the weekly meetings that we do, they're rooted in the word of God. So we preach from books of the scripture. It's not because we lack creativity and can't think of other things to talk about. It's because we see this as a pillar. We value the word of God. We believe that our lives are transformed through the word of God. One of the easiest ways for us to drift from who we are and from that value of the gospel of grace would be to neglect the scripture. I remember years ago when I was in high school, I visited a church with a friend of mine. She had gone to this church for years growing up. She was 17 years old and had gone to this church for 17 years. And the first thing I noticed when we walked in was there was no Bible in the hand of the preacher or in the hand of the Sunday school teacher. It was not read. It was not discussed. It was the opinions of this person that particular day about psychology. And you know what the tragedy was? Was that this young woman had gone to this church growing up and she never heard the good news of the gospel of grace. Because you have to go to the scripture to hear and understand that. So we value the word of God because we believe that it is in the word of God that we find the truth of what Jesus has done for us and what he's calling us to be. So we value the gospel of grace. We value the word of God. Thirdly, we value next generation ministry. Okay, this is where things may get a little bit dicey for some people as we begin to talk about this. But when we talk about the Great Commission and when we read through the New Testament, there's certainly an emphasis on next generation ministry. That part of what we are called to do is we take the gospel and the truth of God's word, and we hand it down to the next generation, who will hand it down to the next generation, who will hand it down to the next generation. 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul says, Timothy, listen, the things you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Now notice right here, we have four generations of Christians. Whether they are our age generations or spiritual generations, we don't know for sure. Probably a little bit of both. But he says, hey, Timothy, I taught you some things. I want you to teach some faithful men. And I want those men to teach some other faithful men. You see that? One, two, three, four. He says, down the generations, I want you to pass the truth of Jesus Christ. Historically at Grace Bible Church, one way we have framed this is that we value university family ministry. College students and grown-ups and families worshiping together across generations. And so what that means is that we historically, because we are in a college town, have historically had a strong emphasis on college student ministry. Now, over the years, as some of our campuses are a little bit farther away from Texas A&M, I recognize, for example, here, we don't have quite as many college students as some of our other campuses do that are closer to A&M. But we still believe in next generation ministry. And we still, frankly, believe in college ministry. And the reason is because we believe that college students have the potential to be spiritual multipliers. They're going to go out from this place into cities around the country and around the world. And if they are equipped to follow Jesus now, they will spread out across the world and have an impact for the Great Commission. But that is also true of our youth students and of our children and of some of our adults in this room. And so we value next generation ministry. I want to say this, and I've said this before. I realize that in South College Station, there's probably a certain percentage of people that you said, I came down here to flee the students. Be honest. Some of you were thinking that. If that's you, I just have to say, you're probably going to be a little disappointed in the long run. Because we value next generation ministry, we welcome and value students. And in fact, grown-ups, you need the next generation in your life. Not only because it is a way for you to leave a legacy that will outlive your own life for eternity, but also because I know in our life we have found that young men and women who want to walk with Jesus have been an unbelievable blessing, not only to my wife and me, but actually to our kids. Sometimes they'll believe something a godly college student says when they won't believe me. And college students, you need the grown-ups and the wisdom and the maturity and the years of suffering and joy that they've walked through to help you walk with Jesus, right? So we believe in next generation ministry, worshiping Jesus and making disciples across the generations, and that does include college students. I know that this town, to some extent, some of you, you have a love-hate relationship with college students. I get it. I don't like waiting for 3 hours at Chewy's on Friday night. But I also know that there's a spiritual opportunity in the fact that we live in a place where there are spiritual multipliers all over the place. And so we have an opportunity. Some of you, I know for some of you, the music skews a little on the young feeling side. And I get that. I'm not a college student. I'm somewhere in the middle of my life, closer to the back end, right? I understand. Some of it wouldn't be the first songs that I would choose to sing on my own time. But we skew a little young, and to be frank, we do that intentionally. Because we want to pass to the next generation a love of worshiping Jesus. And to some extent, I go, you know, those of us that are a little bit on the older end, we know something. We know that you can worship Jesus no matter what the style of the song is. You can raise your hands and you can feel the Spirit move no matter what song we're singing. All right, college students, guess what? One day you'll be old like us. And all of a sudden you go, what happened to the songs that I sang when I was 18? And what we want to model for you even right now is that we worship together as a multi-generational community, and we do it joyfully because all of us in this room, like Jesus, we set aside our rights for one another so we can see Jesus in one another. And college students, I know, sometimes we do songs that are much, much older than any of us in this room. And we also do that because it is a multi-generational church. We value next generation ministry from one generation to another. Because one day all of us in this room will be gone. And if we don't hand the good news to the next generation, there will be no more Grace Bible Church. But by the grace of God, we've been here for 56 years in this community because of faithful men and women who taught faithful men and women who taught faithful men and women over the generations. We value next generation ministry. And then fourthly, we value world missions. We value world missions. We always have. One of the beautiful realities of ministering amongst college students is that quite often, as students fall in love with Jesus, they decide that they want to spend their days or some portion of their days overseas in a place where people don't have the opportunity on a regular basis to come to church and hear about Jesus. And so over the last 6 decades, we've had the opportunity to send literally hundreds and hundreds of young men and women overseas to share the gospel. That's a huge part of what we do. I love it. And I'll be honest, sometimes I talk with pastors in other places and they can't even find or recruit a single missionary for their congregation to support and pray for. Right now, Grace Bible Church has somewhere around 80 individuals and families around the world. When you give to Grace Bible Church, a percentage of what you give goes toward world missions. Some of you have heard this story. When the church began in 1965, a small group within the church decided that they were going to support 4 missionaries, each of them at $10 a month. As of this year, I looked it up, our missions budget is somewhere around $700,000 a year. And here's why. Because we believe in the Great Commission, that part of what we're called to do is to make disciples, not only here, but around the world, because part of what God is doing in Jesus Christ is he's building a kingdom of men and women from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation who will one day worship around his throne. Revelation 7, 9 to 10. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cry out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. We want to be a part of inviting people to be a part of that scene. That's what we're called to do. It's a mission, by the way, we're all called to engage with, every single one of us. I know some of you have seen the Mission Impossible movies, or maybe you saw the old TV show, but you know that at the beginning of every single one, there's this moment where Ethan Hunt of the Impossible Mission Force, he gets this message, right? It's either a recorded message or maybe a little video, and it describes the mission he's supposed to go on. And they always say, this is your mission, should you choose to accept it. But when you watch the show, you know, there's no chance that he's going to refuse to accept it, right? Because that would be the end of the movie. And if you join the Impossible Mission Force, surely you understand that you're going to be sent out on difficult or impossible missions. That's part of the job. So he doesn't refuse them, because there's not really that option, is there? That's the life he signed up for. The Great Commission would say to those who follow Jesus, hey, if you want to follow Jesus, I just want you to understand, you don't really have a choice whether or not to engage in the Great Commission. It's not an optional mission. Somebody else has said it better than me. It's not the great suggestion. It's not the great idea. It's a commission. It's a mission. Every single one of us ought to constantly be thinking this. Who are the people into whom I am investing? Who are the people I'm telling about Jesus? Who are the people I'm helping to follow Jesus more closely? The first people you think of might be your own kids. And I think that's great. Your kids ought to be your primary disciples. But I want to challenge us also to think outside the walls of our home. Our neighbors to the left and right across the street who don't know Jesus or how to follow him. Our friends at work, our family members who don't yet know him. Who are you investing in with the good news of Jesus Christ? Are you engaging with us in this mission? Are you investing in the Great Commission not only here, but overseas as well? We have a couple of missionaries from Grace Creekside. Some of you were here earlier in the spring when they came up on the stage, and we prayed for them and we sent them out. And we have an opportunity to support them and to pray for them, and you can always come to one of us to get more information about how to do that. Who are you investing in with the good news of the gospel of grace? Here's what I want to challenge us to. It's first of all, to remind ourselves of these values, all right? Coming back to the beginning, this is the whole enchilada for us, okay? These are the ingredients. Are we investing in these? Are we remembering these? I would encourage you also to connect with us and find a way then to engage in the mission to help us find and follow, help people find and follow Jesus. September 5th, in just a couple of weeks, we're gonna have a Connection Sunday here on Sunday morning. You can find a way to get connected. Later in October, if you're interested in really connecting with our church as a member, we're gonna have a membership class on October 3rd. You can learn more about who we are as a church, about our doctrine, about our governance, all those great things, and really connect with us fully. If you are a member, as Chris said earlier, come to the Grace Family Gathering tonight. That's another way to connect and to engage with what we're doing. I would encourage you also, if you say, you know, I feel like I need to know the Word of God better so I can help other people know it, which that's all of us, engage with a Bible study, a community group this semester. You can sign up on the website. You can sign up at the Connect table out in the foyer. And then find a place to serve and a place to facilitate and help the mission of Grace Bible Church. As we continue to drive forward as a church, hopefully not just for another 56 years, but for another 100, 200, however long until Jesus returns, as we continue that process, My prayer is we will stay on mission, and that every single one of us will engage in that mission so that when we are worshiping Jesus Christ around his throne, we'll look around and we'll see men and women that we helped to find Jesus and to follow him. And we'll have the joy of knowing that through the Spirit of God, this community and each of us had an impact that lasts into eternity. That's our goal. And that's where we want to focus our attention and energy. Would you pray with me? Father, we are so grateful for your word and for this church. We're grateful that you have allowed us for many years to make an impact here in Bryan, College Station, at Texas A&M and at Blinn, throughout this country and throughout this world. We thank you most of all for Jesus Christ, our Savior. I pray if there is any person in this room this morning who doesn't know Jesus, that they would believe in him now and walk away with the assurance that they have eternal life. I pray for all who know Jesus in this room, that we would invest our lives in helping people find him and follow him faithfully until he returns. It is in Jesus' name we pray all of these things. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.